What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode and the second episode of the Jeremy Bright Podcast. It was originally called the Always Loading Podcast, and it was our belief, and it still is my belief to this day, that there's nothing on this world that we cannot accomplish, because our favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, artists, you name it, at one point had the same amount of followers that we did, had the same amount of doubts that we did, and usually had a much worse backstory than we did. So therefore, we have no choice. We have no excuse. We have absolutely no excuse. What's been amazing is I've had a shift over the last 3 months, and I've stepped into my own brand. And I realized that it's okay for me to be the Jeremy Bright Podcast. It's okay for me to have a community in a back chat on Clubhouse that's Jeremy's community. It's okay for me to be a star, and it's okay for you as well. And what's interesting is it goes perfectly well with today's episode, which is nice guys, nice girls. It's okay to receive, even if society says no, or even if your parents said no, or even if the church or your role models or your principal showed you that it wasn't okay to be this big star. And my question for this to start it is, what if you grew up in LaVar Ball's house? I know he's a polarizing figure, but LaMelo Ball, Jello Ball, and Lonzo Ball never had a doubt that it wasn't okay to be flashy, that it wasn't okay to shoot the ball and try to score 92 points in a high school game. It was always okay for them because it was always accepted and they were loved in their family because of it. So they received love their entire lives and these grand gestures, and it was okay for them to do that. And that's why this podcast is so important to me, and why switching from the Always Loading Podcast to the Jeremy Bright Podcast and having my own community. And I remember the first time when I put it together, I was like, wow, this is like Dumbledore's army from Harry, where Harry was too afraid to put Harry's army and he put Dumbledore's army. But in this case, I'm like, no, it's okay. This is Jeremy's army, because it feels like I'm doing good. It feels like if I win, a bunch of people are going to win. Now, is that the only reason why it should be okay for me to be successful? And the answer to that question is absolutely not. If I just want to be happy and I have a million followers and that makes me happy, that should be totally fine to do as well. And there should be no judgment cast on that person. Because what they may or may not figure out is once they do have a million followers or $1 million even, that it's not all about that. And people find out the ungenuine reasons of having flash or of having, you know, money or of having followers, and then they get there and they're like, oh, is this it? But it's still not up to me to say that that person wanting a million followers is not okay. And what's really interesting is, like, I feel like our parents, and I brought on Scotty to be here with me today as my co-host, and there's a couple people on stage that I will allow to ask questions. One of them is named Alone. He's absolutely fantastic, so I'd love to hear his thoughts on this. And another is named Amy, and she's a great friend of Scotty's, and a great friend of Scotty's is a great friend of mine. And as he sings on this wonderful Clubhouse, you got a friend in me, ba-da-bow. And he rocks it. He really rocks it. So maybe I'll have him play us out today on my podcast, because I've never had music on here before. But what's really interesting and what I wanted to talk about today is this idea of, like I said, having like a million followers. And so before I continue, Scotty, what are your thoughts so far on what I'm talking about as far as it being okay to have like a million followers, you know, or $1 million and have all these things and want these versus, like, you know, because in my case, my mom literally told me when I was a kid, you know, if I would showboat, if I would score 40 and I'm shimmying up and down the court because that's fun for me, she would literally be how dare you, but just like, oh, don't be a showboat or don't do this. And I feel like, you know, the parents look at kids these days as they're walking around the store even, and it's like, hey, get in line, you know, don't act out. Don't be too much. And I even did an exercise, and Alone, feel free to chime in on this as well. I did an exercise one day where I counted the amount of smiles happening throughout a 5-hour period when I was walking around doing deliveries, so I was shopping. I saw hundreds and hundreds of people, probably close to thousands, and I saw 4 smiles. 4. My criteria for this was they couldn't be in the middle of a conversation. They had to genuinely be just walking around with a smile on their face. And what was really fascinating, it was like the barrel of monkeys or the monkeys trying to climb up the rope, or the crabs being in a bucket thought process, where I watched all the kids that were 3 through like 10, you know, smiling, giggling, playing around, being loud, picking up a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and punting it in Costco. Like, they were just having fun. They were just being kids. You know, they screamed, they cried, they laughed, they do all these things. And their parents would be like, hey, too much. Stop it. Stop pulling your sister's hair. You know, stop. And what was really fascinating is somewhere right around the 12 and 13 range, I felt like I was watching this half smile. I was watching this half smile where they wanted to act out a little bit, and they kind of do it for a second, and they'd have this conscious moment of, oh yeah, I've been told no for the last 10 years every time I acted out. So, and then like they'd feel like they was ashamed. And then they would watch their 4-year-old brother or sister, you know, start to scream and throw themselves on the floor, and they would be the ones to parent it. They were like, hey, get in line. And I was like, wow, why is it not okay to just be, quote unquote, too much? Why is it not okay? And why have we been taught in the society for the majority of it? And I think this is why people have such a difficult time receiving that it's not okay to be the center of attention. The world doesn't revolve around you. Well, guess what? My world revolves around me. Now, other people's might not think that. Like, for Scotty, he's not going to look at me and be like, oh, the world revolves around Jeremy. No, and that's totally fine because I don't want that. I don't need that. But in my own world, it should revolve around me. And what I mean by that, because I can even hear it. I can even hear myself saying it out loud, thinking, man, what would society think if they heard me say that? Or what would somebody think if they heard me say that? Who's to say that if I get millions of followers and millions of dollars in my life, that I'm not going to turn around and do real good with that? And I think when I finally became okay with the idea of having millions and millions of followers was actually on this app. I had my biggest room. It was a storytelling room. And I got this message afterwards. And it was this lady. And she said, you know, Jeremy, I just wanted to let you know when I'm successful someday, I'm going to say it because I had the best coach in Jeremy Bray. And she Venmo'd me $50. And at the time, $50 was a lot of money to me. And I remember being like, this was so incredibly nice. And I took 15 of that and I sent it to one of the persons that was helping me moderate the rooms and I thought did like the second most work. And I was like, hey, I just wanted to let you know someone sent us money. Here's this $15. I didn't have to tell her at all, but I wanted to. And in that moment, I was like, man, if I win, if someone gave me $1 million and I was like, hey, Scotty, here's 100K. It just blew my mind. I was like, this is so cool. It's okay for me to receive. It's okay. And I think that was the moment where I really let that sink in, was like, I am going to make so much money in this world and I'm going to have so many followers and I'm going to have such a big impact. I flippin' love it. I love having people trust me with their stories. I love being a coach. I love talking to people about their problems and their successes and their times of their life when they were incredibly struggling, and having masterminds where we kind of have these aha moments where we're like, oh my gosh, there's so much more going on. But it's just been so fascinating for me, and alone, this is a podcast too, so I'm just letting you know that's kind of why I'm going a little long-winded, and I will 1,000% get to you in a second if you do have something to say, and I hope you do because you're fantastic. But it's just been those moments of, why have I always thought it wasn't okay? And I think the last moment I want to talk about before I open up the floor and bring up anyone up for questions and or anyone on stage is the, why was it not okay when I was younger, and who showed me that it wasn't okay for someone to pay for my dinner or someone to go out of their way for me once they asked? And I had a moment on my new team that really set this home for me. We were out, and as an athlete, sometimes we get free meals. And so we were out and we were having pizza with the group. And there was this one kid that was sitting there nice and quiet. He wasn't talking in the conversations. He seemed like a really nice kid. And I saw that he wasn't eating. And so did the coach and so did the owner. And the owner was like, hey, you know, go feel free to dig in, man. He goes, oh, no, I'm vegan. He's like, oh, shoot. Like, dude, wish you would have told me, you know, started reaching into his wallet and was like, well, there's a place nearby. And he goes, oh, no, don't worry about me. It's totally fine. And I'm watching this interaction and he's like, you sure? And, you know, I want to make sure you get some food. He's like, no, I'm totally fine. At this point, it was like 8 o'clock at night and we had been doing team activities since 1. I knew that for sure that he had not eaten yet. And Anthony, what's going on? I'm finishing up a podcast and then we're doing a Q&A. So feel free to come up on stage, brother. And so I knew he hadn't eaten yet. And I knew that it was 7 hours. So I was like, why is he saying, no, it's okay. And I saw myself in him, the quiet, nice kid sitting in the group. And as we walked out, someone was like, hey, you know, if you want to stop somewhere and grab some food, feel free, man. It's totally, no, it's totally okay. You know, I will cook something later. And I remember I looked at him and I was like, you know, this nice guy routine's got to stop. I was like, it's not going to help you. And I was like, why, who showed him that it wasn't okay to be like, you know what? Actually, I would love that. I would love to stop. Can we stop at Chipotle on the way home? That'd be great. Because the person asked not once, not twice, but 3 times. And I totally believe that the universe does the same thing. I totally believe that our parent, my mom, did the same thing. I promise you, now that I look back at it, I actually don't think that she was a bad mother. I think that when she asked if I wanted help, I think I told her no so many times she stopped asking. And that was one of the biggest eye-opening moments of my life. And it was this week. It was this week I was literally talking about how, man, my mom just, she was just not there for me. She wasn't, you know, she'd come home from, she wouldn't even ask me how I was. She wouldn't anything. And I was like, dude, you didn't even let her come to your 8th grade, like, field trips. All the other moms went, but you were embarrassed by her. And so you didn't let her come. You never let her give you anything. Why would she all of a sudden care about you? Why would she try then and just get rejected? We literally teach people, because we don't think it's okay for us to receive, that it's that we don't want it. And eventually they give up and they stop. So I really, that's one of my biggest missions on this earth. And I wanted to talk about this today on this podcast, that it's okay. It's okay to receive love. It's okay to receive compliments. It's okay to receive somebody if they want to pay for your school or pay for your lunch or pay for your dinner. It's okay for somebody to buy you a car. What's really cool is if you think about it on a grand scale, the haves, like the big YouTubers of the world and the big stars, they have people literally show up in a car every once in a while, or like this big $1,000 of gifts, and they drop it off. And that's okay, because it's literally a transference of energy that that person wanted to give you. And I truly believe that the biggest stars on the planet are going to be the best receivers. And I'm done with my segment of this podcast. I'm really excited to get into the Q&A. Before we do, I have to take a commercial break, Scotty, so hold that thought. This podcast is not going to be sponsored on Clubhouse, but the podcast on Anchor is sponsored by Restore Hyper Wellness in Little Rock, Arkansas. I traveled 22 hours and 59 minutes in a span of 30-ish hours. I slept on top of my car. I slept in my car at a truck stop. I walked in one truck stop in Oklahoma, and thank God they actually had a massage chair, so I sat down for 15 minutes. I showed up in the shape of a gummy bear that had been left in the sun in the back of someone's car, ran over, and then put back in the front seat and had a kid find it and go, I don't think I want to eat this. That's what I look like walking into Restore Hyper Wellness. And they looked at me with pity in their eyes and they said, Jeremy, we'll take care of you. And it was amazing. And I'm so thankful for them. And they're all amazing. So please feel free to check them out or check out any Restore Hyper Wellness around the country. And we are now back. And Scotty, I know you unmuted, my friend, and we are on Clubhouse. So for those of you on Anchor and listening online, this is Clubhouse, and we will have a Q&A session, and we'll have a little bit of a popcorn style to talk about this subject. This is Jeremy, and I'm done speaking.
Well, Jeremy, I just want to jump in here and talk about the kid who would not receive a meal. That was me for a long time, and I've always had a lot of food allergies, and so being the nice guy, right? The natural default setting for me is like, I don't want to put you out. Don't worry about me. I'll get something later. I'm learning to deal with that. One of the things that you said too was that, you grips with that as an artist. You know, when normal people finish school, they go out and they get a real job and they have a paycheck and they can go buy a house, they can go buy a car, they can do all these things. When you're an artist and you're responsible for creating high-level content, that costs a lot of dough. And so in lieu of vacations and, you know, nice meals out and things like that, I've been funneling my money into recordings and into music videos and things like that. And one of my fans a few years ago offered me a vacation. They said, we have a place in Florida. We would love to fly you down. You can stay there and do your thing. And at first, my initial response was, oh man, that would be amazing, but I don't want to put you guys out. And then after they said, dude, it's not an imposition. This is what we want to do for you. I accepted that. And we have to get better at accepting gifts, because I think you touched on this earlier. When people want to give you something, they get just as much out of giving to you as you get from receiving what they're giving you. And so for me to say no, I was denying them the pleasure of giving me something that I wanted and that I needed. And so I will never again deny someone the opportunity to bless me. That's huge. Like huge, huge, huge. And I went to Florida, and this was about a year and a half into my solo career of releasing country music in Canada. And I was burnt out. So I go to Florida, and I'm there for 14 days. And by day 9, I was like, oh my goodness, I am going out of my mind. I've got to do some work. And I put in, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours of work. But for the first 8 days, I did absolutely nothing. I just reset. Day 9, I did a little bit of work. Day 10 and 11, I just kind of hung out. Day 12, I did a little bit of work. And then I went home on day 15. And we spent a day at Disney, and we did a bunch of touring around and stuff. It was a wonderful trip. And I came back completely refreshed and ready to tackle this crazy, weird, sometimes toxic business of entertainment in Canada. And if I had just kind of said, no, I don't want to put you guys out, you know, it's too much, I can't accept that, I would not have got the reset. I would not have given them the opportunity to bless me. And I would not have come back with a brand new fire for what it is that I do. And if you're out there and you're listening to this and you've had people wanting to bless you with whatever it is, I just encourage you to say yes. Because it could change your life. It probably won't change theirs, but they do want to bless you. It changed my life, that one simple gesture of flying me down to Florida and putting me up in their house. Changed everything for me. So that's all I have to say about that. I'm Scotty, and I'm done speaking. Thanks, Jeremy.
You're welcome, brother. And how cool is it? It was probably the first time in your life that you didn't do anything for like 8 days.
100%.
Yeah. And it's funny because I remember as I was writing out the podcast today, I wrote out, you know, why can't somebody buy you dinner? You know, why did who showed you this? Or why can't somebody, you know, give you a gift or a compliment? And then I was like, yeah, what about a car? What about something huge? You know, why is that not okay? Anthony, I know you came up and alone. Do either of you have something you want to say on this topic? Alone, go ahead, brother.
This is Alone speaking. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate you. Glad we're connected. Everything Scotty just said, I felt like he was pretty much representing me. You know, for a long time in my life, and I'm talking like just this past week, I've been changing it. I wouldn't even allow people to be there to support me mentally and emotionally. I always felt like it was a burden for others, yet I found a blessing in being a support for them. And so when someone told me, like Scotty pretty much just said, was, if you find a blessing in helping others, you're holding that ability back from them as well. And that kind of changed my perspective with it. You know, I'll go out to dinner and, you know, my roommate's parents will come out to visit us in college and they'll take us out. And for some reason, every single time I bring my wallet and I put my card out, knowing that they're going to say no, just feeling like I have to at least offer, because I just never felt comfortable receiving. I always felt like they maybe felt like they had to rather than wanting to. And it's just that mindset change of, you know, if you're willing to give, you need to also be willing to receive. It's that double-ended blessing of being able to do it. It's just so unique, and it's interesting, you know, like Jeremy said, it really just stems back from our childhoods. Everything is really built from the subconscious that developed when we were growing up, and it's really unlearning all of that and accepting what's okay that we learned wasn't okay. It's just unique. I mean, like I said, everything Scotty just said was everything on my heart, so I'll be pausing my mic, and over to you, Jeremy.
Yeah, I remember that day doing that exercise and watching the 13-year-olds-ish starting to, like, parent their kids for the parents and just being mind-blown at what I was seeing. And I also remember hearing so much on Clubhouse and in real life, not that they're not one and the same, of people being like, man, I just love giving value. I love coaching and helping people out. And it's because you're getting a gift. You get the greatest gift, and the one memories that we remember the most in our lives is the moment where I'll just say it for myself. I can think of three right off the top of my head. This one moment, I was at an In-N-Out in California, and I saw this girl sitting on a table by herself, and something just told me her energy was just super, super low. So I sat down in the seat, kind of just table next to her, and so I wasn't, you know, going to scare her. And I was like, yeah. I was like, long night? And she's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, me too. And I was like, you know, do you mind if I join you? And I'm not kidding. Instant tears. Full on snot in her burger. Like, the tears were rolling so fast. I was trying to figure out if there was like a hairdryer on top, like pushing the things down her cheek. Like, they were moving. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, are you okay? And she goes, my friend brought me here, met up with one of her guy friends and ditched me. And I live like 4 miles from here and I just don't know what to do. So I got a double-double and I'm just crying and I don't even know if I'm gonna eat the French fries, so you can share them with me. And I was just like, hey, you know, it's totally okay. You know, we've all been there, especially I'm a nice guy. I was ditched a lot, you know, and I remember this. I've had so many wonderful memories of mentoring people in my life. But a few of them that stick out is ones like this. There was just a stranger. They just decided that it was okay to open and cry, ugly cry, in front of me. And I sat there with her for probably 45 minutes. Coaching her on how to just show up in the world a little bit different and how to hold space for herself and how to, you know, walk a little more confidently and how to tactfully say things that were a little difficult to say to her friends, to a guy that she thought was cute, to something like that. And what I would tell her in that situation is, if you're about to say something that's a little difficult for you, start with, this is hard for me to say, but, and complete it. Because what that does is that takes away, it allows the person to feel where you're at, and it cues them that they're about to hear something that is maybe something they don't want to hear or that might be difficult for them to hear as well. So it shows that you care about the audience. But I remember after I dropped her off that night, I asked her if it was okay if I give her a ride. And she said yes. I remember as I dropped her off, it was 1:30 in the morning. I had to be awake in 5 hours for a training exercise. I just felt so flippin' full. I felt like the universe and her had allowed me to pour into her, and I got the coolest gift in return of just feeling great. And I hear that all the time. I love giving. I just love it. I love, love, love giving. And that same person gets a compliment that night, and they get told they're beautiful, or they get told they look good, and they're like, oh, no, just stop. And it's just like, you are just deflecting the universe, and you're going to continue to get the same thing, because why would the universe, why would another person that's your friend, and in my case, why would my mom continue to try to give to somebody that's not accepting? Because that is incredibly rude. And that was just, like I said, so eye-opening this week. Anthony or Yuri or Amy, would either of you like to say something?
Sure. Jeremy, this is very timely. I just had this conversation moments ago, and I just echo everything Scotty has said, Alone has said on this whole topic. So I'm learning that a lot more of letting people give to me and saying yes to that, because I'm starting to see like it's a little form of pride, right, when we do that, when we like push off people's compliments or when they're trying to give to us. It's just a prideful thing, and I think we all struggle with it at some degree as human beings. So just having this conversation and just hearing that everyone deals with this in a different capacity is just really cool. So I'm thankful for this, and always just so thankful for who you are as a human being. So appreciate being up here. Thanks for holding that space.
Anthony, as I teach my clients to add an adjective when they're getting used to receive, I lovingly receive your compliment, my friend. So thank you for that at the end. And I found that it really has helped me allow these gifts to come into my life much, much, much more freely. I do it with the universe too. When something happens in the middle of the night and I feel, you know, some energetic from like the spiritual world or from like God, I just open up and I said, I'm not scared. I come sourced in love, and I lovingly receive a gift that I may not fully understand. And I feel just so protected. I feel so seen. And some of the craziest things in my life have happened since I started doing that too. So I would encourage it. Do anyone in the audience or anyone on stage, Amy, Yuri, do either of you have a question about this topic? Feel free to raise your hand now. Yuri, go ahead, my friend.
What's up, Jeremy?
What's up?
Can you guys hear me okay? I'm driving right now, so there might be a little background noise.
We got you, brother. Go ahead.
Got you. Okay, so yeah, this is a great topic, because having a business, you know, you monetarily receive, right? As well as energetically, because I work with clients and whatnot. But I just wanted to say that growing up, I was always taught that it was kind of wrong to receive. Being Mexican in a American society, and we were kind of in poverty too. So my mom would always like say, no, you shouldn't like take, you know, money or gifts from others and like give it back. And she would force me to like give gifts back, because like we didn't deserve it. And so now, having a business and being this age, I'm 26, it's coming, I feel like it's manifesting as me not thinking that I deserve people's monies, people's time, people's energy when it comes to helping them. And it makes me hesitant towards when I'm you know, promoting or selling. So I just wanted to connect how my upbringing and being told that it was wrong to receive, that I should give things back, and that I was almost, in a sense, unworthy to receive, is now showing up in my life now. And if we could kind of talk about that, I would be enlightened to. This is Yuri, and I'm complete for now.
Yuri, thank you so much, man, for talking about this. And there are so many that are having this exact same conversation, which is why I think this conversation is so important, and why I have this with my clients, and why I have my biggest rooms are on Monday that average hundreds and hundreds of people for 6 hours. And we're sitting over 1,000 for a while a few weeks ago, because, you know, even celebrities, even big time celebrities that look like they have it all together, struggle receiving monetarily and struggle receiving in other ways. There's two things that I have for you personally, and I'll be curious to hear if Scotty and Anthony have something to say about this. The first is, I did a tough love exercise, a very, very tough love exercise the other day with someone that was on a stage. And they were talking about how they've always struggled receiving money and they want to be a coach. And so I said, great, great. You know, you seem absolutely wonderful. She's such a wonderful person. You know what's awesome about this is that I charge a minimum of $1,000 a month to work with me. You get five sessions a week. You know, it's usually around 30 minutes. In the beginning, of course, it's a little longer because we're kind of getting to know each other. But I charge at the minimum of $1,000 a month to work with me. And what's great is that every once in a while I meet people that can't pay that amount. And some of them need it for free. And what's great is since you're such a giver, I'll just go ahead and pass them along to you. And I just let that sit there for a second. And I said, are you any less than I am? And I was like, I need you to hear this right now. Because I'm demonstrating that I have a friend that doesn't value themselves enough that I can pass you along to, because she'll do it for free when I charge $1,000 a month. And so I did that, and she texted me, and I'm working with her now on this, on being able to receive. And so that's been really fascinating. The other thing that I have for you is actually something I was told a long time ago when I was selling. I had this person that was clearly unable to purchase this large set of pots and pans that I was selling. It was like a high ticket pots and pans. I don't need to defend myself, but I was just doing something in the summer to make some money. And when she came up, she was like, I really want these. And I looked at her and I looked at her family, and you know, and she was like, yeah, I think I want to start a credit card to get this. You know, we're really struggling, but I just feel like it's time. And I was struggling on the inside. I was like, my gosh, like, I can't let you do this. I was like, you know, there's other pants. I was like, they're good, but they're not like amazing. You know, I mean, I guess if you take care of them, and okay, well, here's my number if you're actually going to do this, because I want to help you take care of them right. And you don't need that one. You don't need that one. You know, just please, for the love of gosh, think about this. And she's like, no, I'm sure. And so she came and she bought the whole set. And I remember, like, she was walking away, and I had to take some time. And I walked outside, and I actually called my mom. And I said, Mom, I'm struggling, and I don't know if I can stay. Like, I don't know if I can sell such a high-ticket item that people don't necessarily need. And she goes, you know, Jeremy, you did a good thing today. Because somebody else, your boss, your coworker, would have sold everything to that woman. They would have sold $1,600 of stuff worth to her, and she would have bought it all because she was in a position where she wanted to. And since she bought it from you, you gave her your phone number, your personal phone number. You told her to call her if she had any questions, because you know an absurd amount about pots and pans that you really shouldn't know about, but it's whatever. It's just a random facts that I know. And you made sure that she didn't, you made sure that she felt seen, heard, and cared for. No one else would have done that, Jeremy. So if she was going to buy from anybody, at least it was from you and not somebody else. And I feel like givers and people that do struggle to receive need to hear that message. At some point, they're going to need these services. It might as well come from you than somebody else. And I think about that today with coaching. I know that I cost quite a bit of money to work with me, but I know for damn sure I am unique. I know I'm very clear about everything that I do with the person. I'm very clear about the value that I add. I'm very clear about my ability to make them also unique in their own right, so that they can in turn be a leader. And I know, and one of the last thing I'll say, and I want to pass it around, is I don't want them to need me after a month. And one of my other friends said, well, Jeremy, aren't you afraid you're going to lose them? You know, if you're working a monthly at a time. And I was like, that is the goal. I do not want them to need me after a month. I want them to graduate and to be able to be a leader of their own. And so when I look at stuff like that, I have zero problem receiving. So Yuri, hopefully that helps. I'm going to allow you to respond, and then I'm going to pass the mic to either Scotty or Anthony. I'm done speaking.
Oh, yeah, that definitely lands. Like, I'm, like, tearing up right now, and I don't know why. Thank you for that, honestly. I feel like I need, like, to raise my prices, honestly, because I know the value that I bring, and I know that I'm undermining myself so much. And I just that I need to let go of this notion that receiving that is wrong or bad. So thank you for those, I guess, more practical tips.
You're so welcome, brother. And the last thing I'll say is when I have people receive something, whether it's energy, whether it's a compliment, as Anthony gave me a minute ago, I always have them put an adjective in front of it just to help them understand that it really is okay. So the next time someone does, you know, offer to pay a little bit more, or you do change your prices, when they do accept, you know, make sure you're telling yourself and telling the universe, I lovingly receive this. I actively receive this. I enter your favorite Yuri adjective, receive this, and make it personal so that you know that it's okay and that you feel it's not a yes. And one of the things I do for nice guys and nice girls is I get them to stop saying yes and I get them to start saying definitely yes. And when I'm talking to somebody and I'm about to help them, first off, I do make sure that I can help them. I really make sure. I want to make sure I'm the right coach for them. But when I do, I'm like, huh, okay, you're talking about this? I can definitely help you. And this is going to be a ton of fun. And it's something that I love. There's nothing more and I honor in the world than somebody trusting me with helping them with their life. And this is going to be a ton of fun. It may not always be fun for you. You might be crying, but just understand that I enjoy solving this puzzle more than anything in the world, because you're not broken. You're just trying to grow. And I get to give you a perspective that only I can, because guess what? I didn't read books. I didn't read all the self-help books, and I'm not going to quote Tony Robbins, and I'm not going to quote Zig Ziglar. This is all coming from me. This is all coming from me walking into the middle of a forest because I was tired of being afraid of looking people in the eyes. And I sat down and I wrote 35 things I was grateful for and realized that fear was just a state and fear wasn't real. In that moment, I should have actually been afraid, but I was at peace because I was learning how to channel all of that energy into gratitude. So every time I'm helping someone, it's coming from a unique place. So what I would suggest to you as well is whatever you are doing, I actually don't know, make sure that it is very unique and make sure that you really, 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 really believe in it and that you're very clear on what you bring that nobody else ever could possibly bring. And I want you to write 20 things down or more of what you bring and what makes you unique, because it makes it so much easier to sell that. And I'm done speaking. Anthony, Scotty, or Eric, welcome to the stage. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Jeremy. I was thinking about this receiving paradox. And I grew up, not as an excuse, just as a background, sort of in the Midwest. And we sort of grew up with balance the score sheet as quickly as possible. If somebody gives you something, you got to get it back. You got to balance the score sheet. You got to make sure you are not owing nobody nothing kind of thing, which meant that when you received it with a sense of like, okay, I'm not just receiving this, but I'm having to record it, inventory, and then prepare to pay it back. And as I look at it, I wonder how often that came into my thinking about playing small, because if I asked for something big, then I had a big debt to pay back. Mm-hmm. If I received something big, then I knew there was going to be a big ask on the other side. And so always trying to keep that score sheet just at a safe level that I could manage, I think had for a long time held me back in just saying, hey, I receive it, because in truth, I'm worthy of it. And it is an abundant universe, and it flowed to me, and it will flow from me as it's according. But I do think sometimes when we grow up thinking we have to keep it even, we keep it small. My name's Eric, and I'm finished.
Not only is that Midwestern philosophy, I think you said Midwest or Southwest philosophy, it turns into a give to receive kind of notion too, as far as, you know, I think about, you know, I think about people that I know closely in my family that will be like, okay, well, I can't accept $100 from somebody because I would owe them something. And kind of along that same line. So what's really interesting is when I started thinking about, I loved your statement of, I'm worth it. And I'm so worth it, because I could hear the genuine nature in that. And I really, truly hope that my kids look at me someday and they have that exact same thought. Because I remember the day that I walked up to my mom. I kind of got a little scatterbrained for a second there, and I'm okay with that. I walked up to my mom, and I was like, you know what, Mom? I'm a fucking catch. And I was like, I'm a singer. I'm an athlete. I'm really nice. You know, I may not know how exactly I want, you know, to flirt. And I was very open in that moment because I used to be like, so, like, what are your goals for, like, the next week? And my mom would be like, you can't say that to someone. I was like, well, I knew she was interested, and I don't know, that's where I went. And but I looked at her, I was like, Mom, I really am a catch, and I'm gonna be a great husband someday. And so, Eric, I guess what I really liked about your share is that you said I'm worth it, and I felt it, and hopefully, and you don't feel like you have to balance the score sheet anymore, because that sounds exhausting. And I feel like when we do receive in these really big levels, you know, let's say you're on a stage someday and you're talking to a million people, you know, if you're giving out that much information, and you're giving out information that could be for one, and a million people are throwing love back at you, I hope you just open your arms and you're like, let it all pour in, let it all pour in. And you know, I guess the other thing I thought about was maybe blocking out the hate and blocking out the cheers, because some people think you're Jesus and some people think you're trash, and neither of them really matter. But I do hope that at some point you get to that point, because I think that'd be super cool to see. I followed you. I think you're a pretty cool guy. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's a really great image, because if your message is big enough, if the impact you want to make into the world is really big enough, how could you ever keep score of those millions and millions of lives that you hope to touch or influence or become a part of? Standing on that stage, there's no way I could run around and get everybody's name and number to be able to pay it back at an equal level for what I'm going to receive when I stand there. So I like that visualization. Thank you, Jeremy.
You're welcome. And I want to get Amy's thoughts and then Scotty's final thoughts before we close up. I'm at 42 minutes on the actual podcast, and this is a recording. So Eric or Yuri, Anthony or Amy, if you want to be taken off, just let me know. It's not a live recording, so it'll be posted later on to Anchor and to wherever you find podcasts. But this was actually the way that I got over. This is another way that I got over receiving. When I realized that if I wanted to be a Tony Robbins, a.k.a. a Jeremy Burrite, because I think I'm going to be better than him, I really realized that he receives the most insane amount of energy, and he has to be able to, like, take that in. And I realized that the biggest givers really have to be the best receivers, because the amount of compliments, the amount of, you know, gifts and texts, and I thought about it. I was like, wow, I really need to get better at this. And I opened up my very first room on Clubhouse, I think it was 4 weeks ago, on receiving love, a giver's guide to receiving love. And it was a Monday, and it just, people poured in. And it, like I said, it averages hundreds of people. And one time it got up over 4,000. It sat at 1,000 for a long time. It was super cool. But I just remember being like, I opened my arms to the universe and I said, this is what I asked for. Thank you for this. I lovingly received this gift from a source that I may not fully understand. And I come sourced in love, joy, and curiosity to serve the people that I wish to serve. And I was super freaking calm. And it was the greatest feeling, Eric. And I think about the same thing that's exactly what I'm going to say. It's my phrase, and I love it. Absolutely love it. And I'm going to say it before I step on stage, before I'm in front of a million people, and I'm gonna be like, I lovingly receive this gift from a source that I may not understand. And I come sourced in love, joy, and curiosity to serve the people that I love. I'm freaking stoked. I really am. So with that being said, Amy, thank you so much for being here. As I said, a friend of Scotty's is a friend of mine. I appreciate you being on this podcast. You are being recorded. And please feel free to chime in with your thoughts or a question. I'm done speaking.
Thanks, Jeremy. I want to echo Eric on the trying to keep the playing field even. I've grown up whenever someone gives me something, I feel like I need to find a way to give it back. But not just that, people in my life now, I feel like they're keeping a tally on how much gratitude I give them for giving me whatever it is they've given me. Me saying a simple, hey, thank you for this gift that you've given me, or thank you for this gift that you've given my children, isn't enough. I then have to back up and take pictures of the kids using whatever gift it is and thank them in text. And then the next time I see them, I have to also say, oh, those kids are using whatever it is you gave them so much. And I just have to keep thanking them over and over and over again because I haven't given them enough gratitude. So I totally get that even playing field and trying to be as gracious as I can in accepting the gifts and being okay with that.
I have to ask.
Yeah,
are they? I would be curious to know what would happen if you just said thanks. I mean, obviously that part seems a little rude, but like if you just gave like a heartfelt thanks and then didn't send, would they follow up, or have they followed up and been like, hey, so are they like using this or?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Interesting.
All the time. So I've learned now through knowing them for so many years that I need to do those extra things. But it's, how do I continue being genuine about it, and when does it just become I have to do this?
This is super exciting for me, and I love the answer, and I think Anthony might have something too. I met a friend that always spoke his truth, and that's what this podcast was going to be, is how to speak your truth in a tactful way so that your heart always knows that it can trust you. Because what's happening here is, even though it's on a super small level, your heart is like, Amy, this is fucking ridiculous. And then you're texting them and you're like, oh, here's Scotty, he still loves this toy. And then your heart's like, yo, same team, bruh, like I thought we were on the same team. And you're like, no, it's okay. I'm just going to do this just to please them. And what's really fascinating about givers is that we do this all the time. And I literally just had a conversation, and this is the last thing I'll say before I let Anthony chime in, with a friend of mine who's been going through a lot. And I the first night he went through it, I was there on the couch literally weeping with him because it's a lot and it's hard. And I was crying, he was crying, and we just sat there and cried for a good solid 20 minutes. And then we turned on Marvel movies and had popcorn and, you know, chocolate-covered almonds and a bunch of sugary sweets and played freaking zombies for a few hours, and he felt pretty good. I went over there every night for 7 of 8 nights, and everybody in the close circle knew what he was going through. And this one person finally reached out to him today when he made a post. So it's been almost 2 months, maybe a little more, that he's been going through this. And this person knew and was like, hey, you know, I was just... And he wrote a beautiful poem about how broken pieces, you know, fit in the right places and blah, blah, blah. But this person reached out to him who knows him really well and was like, hi, you know, I was just thinking about you the other night and wanted to check in and see if you're okay. And he sent me the screenshot of what his heart was saying in that moment, which was like, yeah, what the fuck? Where were you 2 months ago when I was going through this? And I was like, did she know? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, dude, this is literally what we were just talking about. Your heart right now is saying, hey, what the fuck? And you are trying to decide if you want to send that actual message in a tactful way, of course, of, you know, because he literally was like, yeah, they can, you know, go screw themselves. Like, clearly they don't care about me. And I was like, well, let's think about this from two perspectives. Number one, they might have cared and not known like what to say. But if you really think about it, like if your heart really thinks like, hey, you know, I would have loved for you to have been there when I was really going through it because I'm actually okay now. It's okay for you to send that message, like, because your heart's going to know you got its back. And if that's really what you're feeling right now, I think that's okay. And so, Amy, I know your situation here is much smaller, but I think our heart does this all the time where it's like, hey, speak up, you know, say something, this is ridiculous. And then we just go, oh, here's Scotty playing with the truck still.
I totally hear what you're saying and I completely agree. And I have taken a couple of times where I've spoken what I wanted to say and it's caused issues, but I don't care. So I've kind of found a happy medium where I keep it in my mind that I know how they feel about gratitude and they need that motivation that they're doing what they thought is good, but I also don't go overboard because I don't want to be disingenuous.
Well, here's
so I found over the years, I found that happy medium. medium, because this is not just friends, this is family. And if you cause trouble, it causes trouble for everybody in the family unit. So it's easier just to keep the peace. But I've kind of found that happy medium of keeping the peace.
Right. And here's where that friend, this is actually what I meant to say in the first place too, where that friend came into play that I met, is he's my family. He's family. And to me, if someone ever told me no, like, that was so rude from what I was taught and how I was such a giver. And I remember I asked him to do something for me one day. And he looked at me, he's like, no. Hell no. Yeah, okay, let's do this for Jeremy. And, like, put on this crazy show and was smiling and laughing. And it was all tact. And I remember being, I was cracking up because he did it in only a way that Andrew could do it. And I was like, you need to teach me this. And he's like, what? Oh, now I have to be your therapist? Okay, Jeremy. And like, and then kind of had fun with me again. He's like, what do you even mean? And I was like, I've never been able to say no in the way you just said no to somebody that I cared about. And he's like, huh? And I was like, dude, I don't know how to say definitely no. And I feel like nice guys and nice girls, they leave these cracks when they're trying to speak their heart. And they're like, oh, well, I don't really like this. Or like they'll let it build up enough times that when they finally say something, it comes from a place of anger instead of a place of genuineness of only Amy could do. So if like you were just like, yep, here, and if you, because you could literally go sarcasm on this and send 19 pictures and blow them up. And they're like, okay, I get it. And you're like, yeah, do you see that? Like, and do you see how... Right, and I think those are the ones that come through genuinely, where they're not going to get upset. They're just like, okay, we get it, like, we get it. And so I feel like that's just been my favorite thing to teach people, is to do it more often, is always be genuine and always kind of commit to the joke, if I would say that. So, Anthony, go ahead and give me your thoughts. I think you were on mute.
I'm sorry, buddy. No, I echo everything you just said, 100%. And Amy, like, people pleasing kills us. It's at the end of the day, you said something key, is that only we can control and do, like, only we, sorry, this topic is just so relevant. We are only in control of ourselves, and it's at the end of the day, when we do the things that we do, whether that's giving or receiving, we cannot control the outcome of how the other person is going to respond and react. And at the end of the day, we can't focus on that. So just, I give you permission to free yourself from that, only because I am also giving myself permission, freeing myself from that. Because today I finally sat down and had a hard conversation about the fact that I am a people pleaser, and it is driving me mentally crazy. That's heavy to say mentally, but however, it does impact your mental health and your well-being, trying to please people. But at the end of the day, that's not what life is about. It's like Jeremy has been saying, it's about being genuine and just leading with love first and giving, but also that receiving piece is also so key. We have to do it. So yeah, Jeremy, thank you so much, man.
Can I, sorry, Jeremy, can I just jump in and ask a quick question, and then I'm done talking?
Sure. We're at 54 minutes, and I only have 5 minutes left on the podcast, so please make it quick.
It's really quick. How do you teach children to be able to accept gifts genuinely and show gratitude for them, but then also don't be entitled? I'm Amy, and I'm done talking.
I don't know. I think the entitled part is the part that would have to go from that when I think about it first. Like, my first instinct says, if you teach someone to, you know, add an adjective before, as I like to talk about, of like, man, I lovingly received this gift, or like, I'm so excited about this gift, or thank you so much. I don't really think that gratitude ever goes hand in hand with entitlement until they get stuff through... until they get stuff that they're expecting. And I think about this with like a relationship, where if I surprise someone with a gift and I'm just being really nice and they accept that, that's awesome. But if they're ever expecting something, I think that's a different conversation. And even when it comes to like a compliment, if I remember, I was dating someone back in the day where, you know, it'd be a couple hours into the day, and if she was like, well, okay, well, if you're just like not going to compliment me or something like that, okay, you know, and kind of make a big kind of a scene about it, I was like, well, that's just going to make me not want to. So I think it's more of a conversation of allowing them to show their true appreciation naturally. And so, and I think you can, we can always do that through demonstration, of course, ourselves. We can do that through, I call something a birthday exercise, because I think showing love and support for the things that we do have already is really important. So at night, like midnight, I'll send a text out to like 10 people that I just really care about. And I'll just say, you know what? I just wanted to say, I love the fact that you're in my life. I have so much fun being your friend. I'm so glad we met here and here, or like whatever the person, however the person interacted in my life, and however that, why they're important. And I feel like that just, that precipitates more gratitude versus focusing on those moments where if they do show up entitled, if they haven't shown up entitled and they haven't given you any reason to believe that's going to happen, then there's no reason for that to happen. If they show up one day and they're like, hey mom, what about this? You know, why didn't I get 36? Why last year there was 37 presents? You know, if they start showing up like little Dursley in Harry Potter, you know, that's when you can have a, feel like a different conversation. But I think what you can do instead is help take them through, you know, gratitude exercises. And I know some of them are actually incredibly vulnerable to do. I took my client this morning through a place your hands on your heart, and let's walk through a moment where you're really proud. And then let's walk through a moment where you were super excited. And let's walk through a moment that was super like emotional for you, like in a loving or romantic way. And I took him through like a 4-minute exercise, and it was really intimate for me to do something like that with somebody. And so I think the best thing that we can do as leaders, as parents, as coaches, is to be open to putting ourselves in a position where your kids or your family member or someone can look at you and be like, are you okay? Like, why are we doing this? And to go first in those moments, and to, you know, have them come out and see mommy doing a gratitude exercise that looks a little silly, but it's actually one of the most genuine things we can ever do for not only the universe to show our appreciation, but to show people that it's okay to have these like deep emotional thoughts. And I don't think that entitlement really will show up from that. I think the only other thing I'll say on entitlement is, because I used to have a little bit of this, is I needed more consequences in my life when I failed. You know, when the teachers got mad at me, or when I screwed up on the bus or something like that. My mom was incredibly good at coming down and coming to my rescue, and I really just needed fucking detention for a few days. And I think that really perpetuates things when our kids, and myself especially, didn't have much discipline because my mom wanted me to be happy. When I was, you know, 29, and I had like a girl break my heart big time, and I couldn't fix it because I couldn't charm my way out of it. That hurt. It hurt to learn discipline later than it did to learn earlier. So I think it's the last thing I would say, just as far as like kids, is let them screw up. And let them feel their consequences, like legitimately feel it, like when things are legitimately taken away. And I don't think you'll ever have a problem with entitlement. And those are my thoughts. And with that being said, we do have a minute and 30 left. So, wow. You know, I really want to give a shout out to Scotty and Ryan and Sam, who were here earlier, because they took me through kind of the... We really did a brainstorm to get to this place. And now that we're here, I really want to give a shout out to Anthony and Alone and Eric and Yuri and Amy and Scotty again, who showed up twice, because he's a great friend like that, and I love him, for being here for me and for being here for themselves, you know, because this is something that they got to learn, and the gift went both ways today. I got to receive their love and their appreciation. I got to receive their wonderful insights as well, and I lovingly receive all of them, and it was super cool. And then I also got to give my thoughts, and they held the space for them. They held the space for me, but more importantly, I held the space for myself, and I want other people to do that as well. It's one of the most important things I think I can teach people how to do. So with that, I am complete. This has been the Jeremy Bright Podcast. If you have not checked out our podcast yet on Apple or Google Play or ever and given us a 5-star review, I encourage you to do so. And you can give me a 4-star one too, but I think I'm worth 5 stars. I don't know. You can tell me.
He'll receive a 5. He'll receive a 5. Fives only. And hit that green house at the top.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that, all the best, and we are out.